Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
Well, we're going to kick off today's post-race media availability with Martin Truex Jr., our third-place finisher in the Sport Clips Toyota. Martin, can you just walk us through that run?
Yeah, I mean, overall, a solid day. First stage there, we had to pass quite a few cars. You know, starting 11th, it was pretty tough. But, was happy to get second that first stage. And then we had a bit of an issue on pit road with a tire getting away. And then had to come from the rear, which that was pretty difficult. But Sport Clips Camry was decent. I think we were probably a third place car, and we finished third. So, solid day, just lacked a little bit of speed and drivability.
All right, and we are going to open up the floor for questions for Martin. If you have a question, just a reminder, click the participants tab and raise your hand. We're going to kick it off with Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Martin, is there anything that you take away from having a penalty and coming back and finishing third? Like, is that something that you feel like, with a new crew chief this year, that those are things that you just need to do?
No, I mean, I think, no matter what's going on as a driver, you face those things. And, mistakes happen, speed and pit road speed. And, I've done that this year. So, when those things happen, you just have to buckle down and get what you can get. So, fortunately, we were able to come back from it. And, we probably lost out on a few stage points there in stage two because of it. But overall, it was, still a solid day. So I don't think it matters who's running, who's working on the car, who's on your crew, whatever. Anytime something happens, all you can do is dig out of the hole best you can.
And, I mean, are you happy with third, or is it a third, but, you never really were in with Keselowski and Hamlin at all during the day?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, I felt like we weren't quite as good as those two guys. So, like I said, that first stage, we ran second to the 11, and, he looked pretty strong. I was having some handling issues there. And so, we never could quite get the car to do the things that I needed to do here to win. And we've had it doing those things here before. But it seems like we have a tough time finding out how to have it at the end of the race. So still a little bit more work to be done. But, again, a solid effort. I felt like we were third best car. And maybe fourth best car. I think the four was pretty strong at times as well. And he kind of got messed around with track position. So we finished where we should have, I guess. And, we just need to figure out how to get a little bit better here.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Just wondering, Martin, Brad made point of saying after the race that he was really stoked about their run because he thinks that this could be, a determinant of how well that they can run at Phoenix, given the fact that this is the same tire. What do you guys have to improve on before you take this package or whatever package you end up using for the season finale?
It's really tough to say just because, I felt like our issues were things that, we probably could have made better with some practice, I think. So, you just got to hit it. I think maybe we need to be a little bit, smarter about our simulation and what setups we're unloading with the racetrack. And, maybe figure out something a little bit better with this tire this year. It seems like we've struggled a little bit more this year with some tire issues and, than some other teams. And, I think I speak for all the drivers at JGR when we kind of say we kind of lack some of the feel that we're looking for in these tires. So, that may be part of it. Maybe they figured some things out there. We're still kind of searching on that, I think.
And what are your thoughts on Cole Pearn coming out of retirement?
I'm excited for him. I think, he's going to have a fun time. I think, the opportunity to go, to Indianapolis for a few weeks and enjoy yourself and try to help a team with, he's got some friends there that work on that team. So, I think he's going to have a good time. And then, he's only got to do one race and then he's back in retirement. So, it's fun, I guess, for him right there, at this point in time to do some things that, kind of bucket list things, I think. And that's probably one of them. So I hope he has fun with it. And hopefully they're competitive.
Appreciate your time, champ.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Martin, you know, so far this season, there haven't been many races with the 750 package. And obviously, you did win one at Martinsville not too long ago. But, you know, from this point on, more than half the races are the 750 package. How much might things change? How much are is everybody kind of in a learning mode at this point? Because this is kind of late to have a bunch of these races where I think it's been about four or five races on this package all year.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, how it played out today and where we kind of stacked up. I felt like, you know, I felt like we were right there, but obviously, as I've been talking about, you know, needed the car to be a little bit better. But, you know, the win at Martinsville and you know, that was huge for us. But I think going forward, we're going to learn a little bit more about this and, you know, who's been working on it, because they know it's, you know, the championship race in Phoenix will use this package. So, you know, let's see, you know, in the next few weeks, I think we'll see who's kind of gained some ground with this package and who's maybe, you know, not really been working on it because all the, you know, the mile and a half and the other 550 stuff we've been running. So I was happy, you know, like I said, with our performance today. I felt like there was a lot of room for improvement with our handling. So that's always encouraging when you know your car could drive better and you still run as good as we did. So we'll see how it goes. And you just, you know, every week you just got to do the best you can and kind of the best educated guess you can come up with.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi.
Obviously, Martin, with social distancing and everything, you're not around Kyle Busch a lot in person. But have you noticed the frustrating season that he's having? Have you noticed him voicing that in meetings? Has he voiced that in meetings? What's he been like to interact with?
Yeah, he's been pretty grumpy, to be honest with you. He's been pretty grumpy, but yeah, no, I mean, Kyle's, you know, they've had some tough luck for sure. And again, today, obviously. So, you know, Kyle's a great competitor and, you know, a smart guy. He's really not been, you know, too down on things. I think he knows that, you know, he's got a great team and they can overcome this. So he's been a little bit grumpy at times, but for the most part, he's been pretty typical Kyle.
Has it been a thing where they're just kind of looking at it as bad luck, or is it things that they're doing that's causing some of these, you know, not performance issues?
I'd say both. You know, I think the two go together. You know, you start not running good and, you know, you get in spots where you probably shouldn't be and you get crashed. It's happened to us this year. I mean, we've gotten wrecked six or seven times, I think, just being in the wrong place the wrong time. So, yeah, it just seems like this sport, you know, when it rains, it pours. And, you know, when things aren't going your way, it just seems like you can't do anything right. And I feel like they've been competitive. They've been strong. And, you know, they just have had a lot of weird things happen. So, I know exactly how it feels. I've been there many times.
Thank you.
All right. And our last question for Martin is going to come from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Martin, after Kansas, you had said that maybe a conversation that was worth having was about perhaps not being so liberal of applying PJ1 at all these different sorts of racetracks. Today we saw a very competitive race with the PJ1 down. Did you think that the traction compound allowed for more of a two-groove racetrack, or was it something else like the tire? What do you think contributed to the racing we saw today?
I think it's a lot of things. I think a new tire that caught a lot of people off guard. It's quite a bit different, I think, than you know, what we'd run here last year. The PJ1. I felt like the PJ1 was quite different than the past few years we've been doing it here. In that it seemed like the top groove really wore out fast, faster than normal. So the bottom came in, and we've seen, you know, a lot of those restarts, we've seen guys run the bottom for 15 laps or 10 or 15 laps and making some moves, making some passes and being able to do that. So I just felt like overall the whole track had, you know, the whole track was a little bit more equal. You know, the last few times here, that second lane of PJ1, which is actually the third lane on the racetrack, usually it's just so dominant. You know, it's hard to make speed in any other lane. And today it felt like, you know, that didn't really last long. So that gave us all a lot more options, I would think. And I felt like that's kind of, you know, what made the racing a little bit different than normal.
Thank you.
All right, Martin. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the finish, and we'll see you in Michigan.
All right, guys. Thank you. Safe travels.
We're now joined by our second place finisher, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Express Toyota. Denny, can you just walk us through those, you know, final laps there? Did you have anything for Brad at the end?
I don't think so. I mean, if I would have, I would have gone up there and passed him. But we were just barely a little slower than he was for most of the day. We could, you know, make some really good moves on the restarts and whatnot. But overall, I just thought that we were a second place car, and it's kind of how we ended up. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the run simply because this is the first, honestly, short flat track where we've got some data now that we can build some setups for some other tracks like Richmond, Phoenix, the championship race at Phoenix. You know, I wrecked out of there in the first run in the spring. We haven't run Richmond yet. So, you know, this was probably one of the biggest question marks we were going to have as a race team with our setup and our simulation going into a race. So I know Chris was kind of worried about it. He's always optimistic, but he was a little worried that, you know, we hadn't had really truly a baseline to build a setup off of. And we were second place car. So it's close, but you know, just got to get a little better.
All right. Well, we are going to open up the floor for questions. As a reminder, click the participants tab and raise your hand if you have a question for Denny. Let's kick it off with Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Just curious to kind of follow up on what you were talking about, Denny. Without any practice the rest of the season and to come with this tire back to Phoenix, how comfortable do you feel once you get there knowing that you guys did what you were able to do today and have time to work on it between now and November?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. That's one of the things that we said after the race is that, you know, this is good because now we've got something we can build off of. Now it's up to me to break this thing down and figure out, you know, where we need to be better. You know, I really got to break it down and figure out where I was getting beat and just start to figure out how we can start to get baselines for other tracks. And so this is a good step for us. I'm happy that we ran good because, you know, the other short flag track we had was Martinsville and we ran terrible. So this is a good step for us.
And what made you or what prompted you to say this is awesome racing in those closing stages? Just the kind of mano-a-mano battle you were having with Keselowski?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like short track racing, like, you know, half mile short track racing. We were crossing each other over and running into each other and kind of knocking each other up the racetrack. We're doing slide jobs in the middle of the corner. It was fun racing those guys. They were very, very deserving today and happy for them because, you know, you hate to have a fast car and you don't finish it off. But I thought obviously the two best cars finished 1-2 today and, you know, they got the better end of us. But, you know, overall, it's just the racing part of it. I was just having a good time there racing there on the short run and even that long run in the end of the first stage with the Penske cars. So it was fun.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Denny, you've touched on Phoenix a couple times already here and how empty the notebook was heading into today. I guess what can you improve or what do you need to improve to close the gap at this point?
I don't know. I got to break it down. Just got to spend some time and look at things and figure it out. Try to think about what's fresh in my mind, where I feel like we can be better. And, you know, it's a process. It's not just, you know, hopefully he listens to the radio and we fix it next time around. So it's a process and it's something that the reason I think that we're successful when we go to these racetracks. So I don't know. You know, I need to kind of dig to figure out where I need to be better, but you know, we get a lot of information that helps figure that out, and then I'll think about what I need to go faster in those areas.
And what circumstances allowed for the great racing that you guys had today? Was it, do you feel like it was the traction compound? Was it the tire, just the track itself? Did anything in particular stand out to you that allowed for that?
Well, it's a better tire. It was a tire that had more fall off. you know, the fall off was roughly double of what it was last year. It was only like 0.4 and 50, 60 or 70 laps last year. And, you know, this one looks like it had, you know, quite a bit more, 31. Yeah. So, I mean, 1.4 seconds or so. I mean, that's, you're going to have good racing because you're going to have guys that are good on the short run and some that are good in the long run. And I think the two had a good mix of both, but, you know, I think that anytime you have a tire that falls off this much, you're going to have comers and goers, and that's going to create passing. And essentially you're going to see some of the racing that you saw.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take our next question from Terrell Covey. Go ahead.
Hi, Denny. I don't know if it, how big of an impact it has for you guys, but having fans back in the stands today, you know, did you guys feel the energy a little bit different today? How was it out there to have fans back out there?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, the turnout was unbelievable. I don't know how many tickets they sold, but it was probably all of them. So they did a great job, and the fans were just enthusiastic. I mean, you know, from the beginning of the race to when we're walking down pit road after the race, I mean, they're chanting and they're shouting, and I mean, they're excited to get back to see some live racing. So definitely encouraged to see that, you know, this track was able, and this state was allowed these fans to come here, because I guarantee you they enjoyed it, especially with the on-track product that they got to see.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our next question will come from Alex Andreev. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Denny. I'm wondering kind of what you see as the biggest factors or sort of the biggest differences in the seasons that you and Kyle Busch have been having. I mean, why is there such that discrepancy, do you think?
You know, I don't know. I really can't answer it, to be honest with you. I just don't know. Everyone, you know, it just seems like myself and my crew chief are really dialed in right now. You know, it doesn't take much to kind of bump in the road here and there, and then you find yourself getting off track pretty quick and you start second-guessing what you do. I'm not saying that those guys are doing that, but I think that our cars aren't the fastest right now. I think everyone at JGR would say that we've got to get a little bit faster. I thought, you know, we were just a couple hundreds behind every lap today. So, you know, there's just not much more I could have done. And so I think if we get our cars a little faster, you'll see better results from all of our teammates. So I think Kyle's just kind of in a slump right now where, you know, things aren't going his way. And, you know, all the great drivers have had off years, but we saw last year, right? I mean, he didn't win a race all second half of the season, and then he won the last race of the season and, you know, was the champion. So just got to win the last race to win this whole thing. So, you know, you don't want to draw any conclusions till the final one.
Thank you.
All right. And our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kind of following up on Alex's question, Danny, what's Kyle been like dealing with him? Has he been frustrated? Has he been voicing has he been voicing that frustration in meetings and everything?
You know, I haven't saw Kyle that much. You know, he has frustrations just like I do, and just like Martin does, and just like Eric does. I mean, we all have our frustrations. You know, we just have the best results, I guess you could say. I think that we all think that we could be better. I know for a fact that our 11 team could still be better yet. So we're not, just because we're running well, it doesn't mean that we're happy with where we're at. I mean, Joe is not happy unless we're out there winning. He deems that we all need to step up. And he looks at all of us when he says step up. So I think that we did that a little bit at Kansas. Our cars were all a little bit better. We ran 2-3 here. You know, who knows where Kyle would have been. 20 had a struggling day. But I think we're making baby steps. You know, changes don't happen overnight. You know, this is all a slow process. If you want to make your cars better and you realize you're off, it takes months and months to get better. And especially with this COVID and everything, these shops work in different shifts. No one's working at full staff. You know, no wind tunnel time. it's hard to catch up when you are behind, and I think that we are a little behind. It's just going to take a little more time yet to get where we need to be, and hopefully it's September when we really need it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Denny. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the finish, and we will see you next weekend at Michigan.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, and we're now joined by the race-winning crew chief, Jeremy Bullens. Jeremy, can you just walk us through your strategy there throughout the race and how it feels to get the win at New Hampshire?
Yeah, obviously a great day for this Alliance Parts Mustang. You know, the strategy was fairly straightforward. Most of the time you had, you know, enough laps that you you wanted to pit. You know, we made a strategy play there early in stage one to stay out of the Campiello and try to run that whole stage, and almost paid off. So, you know, it was worked out okay for us. And, you know, it seemed like after that, the cautions kept falling near the fuel windows. So, you know, you had to make the decision, am I going to pit here or stay out and wait a little bit longer? And, you know, fortunately, we seemed like we timed that pretty close and were able to keep cycling back to the front.
All right. Well, we are going to start taking questions for Jeremy. If you have a question, please click the participants tab and raise your hand. We're going to kick it off with Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Jeremy, you know, you guys obviously had the success with winning at Bristol, but there haven't been many of these 750 horsepower package races so far this season. And obviously now the rest of the way, I think it's like over half the races are going to be. What is the challenge going to be? Obviously, you guys have found some success. What is the challenge going to be staying ahead of everybody as people have more and more opportunities to catch up and run races and try things that you guys haven't had the first half of the season? I think with only about four races so far, it just is very imbalanced in how it's kind of worked out schedule wise. What's the challenge in trying to stay ahead or trying to, you know, catch up in some areas maybe?
Yeah, obviously with Phoenix being the championship race this year and, you know, Bristol and Richmond and Martinsville is all being playoff races. The 750 stuff's going to play a big role in deciding this whole thing. And we certainly put a effort into that, and Brad's really good at the 750 stuff and has been for a long time. So, you know, I think that you just have to keep working. You just have to take every race as a practice session and learn everything you can from what we did today and the decisions we made coming here, and try to use that to, you know, we took things all the way back from Phoenix, notes from Phoenix and things that we did in Phoenix, and applied to how we came here because it was the same tires. So you just have to use all the information you can get and treat each race like a big practice session and try to learn as much as you can.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Jeremy, Denny was actually just talking to us about how the lack of a Richmond race in the spring affected his team's ability to build a baseline setup for some of the flatter racetracks. Not having that first Richmond race, exactly how jarring has it been, and how do you adapt and make sure that you have a good baseline in place for Phoenix, New Hampshire, etc.?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there are certain you know, races throughout the year, throughout the normal schedule, that have historically been almost a checkpoint of where you're at against the competition. And that first Richmond race is always a really good test to see where you stack up and see what you need to work on, and not having that. And to Dustin's point, it's been so long since we had a 750 race, you know, you really got to knock the dust off your Phoenix notebook and try to look back at what we did there and think through that. But, you know, fortunately we spent a lot of time during the shutdown trying to plan ahead and take what we learned at Phoenix and get smarter yet, because like I said, there's such a big emphasis on that race at the end of the year.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Jeremy, without practice, how confident are you in your fuel mileage calls?
Pretty good. You know, it's one of those things that we historically track a lot. So we've got a great database, if you will, of all the history with that stuff, even with this aero package going back to 2018 and what the mileage was. And Roush Yates does a great job of not only giving us good horsepower, but, you know, kind of letting us where they think we are on the fuel curves and everything for engine maps and what the mileage should be. So we kind of have a good game plan going into it. And then as soon as you get a stop or two under your belt, you kind of know where you're at for the day, and it's pretty easy to work backwards from there. I mean, there's always going to be situations like today where you're pitting closer to the window than you want to be, or just outside of the window and you need a couple cautions. But I'd say we have a pretty good idea. It's a fairly educated guess.
I mean, when Harvick goes, you know, 100 something laps, I mean, obviously there were some caution laps in their same engine. Does that I mean, does that add to your info, or is it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, You know, those guys are on the same tune-up that you are, and you know, should be really close. And when you see that, it kind of gives you some confidence to know that that's possible, that's doable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congrats, Jeremy.
Thank you.
After Brad got out of the car, he said that he's had a great career, but he probably needed a kick in the butt. And he felt that you and this two team have done that to him this season and made him a better driver. Obviously, you've been around Brad before the season, but I just wondered if you've noticed anything different about while working with him as a crew chief, or anything along those lines that would make him say something like that.
You know, I think in a lot of ways, it's very similar when I worked with him in the Xfinity car. You get the feeling that you got a shot to win every week, and that's all you can ask for. And that's the way it was when we were on the Xfinity car. We left the shop thinking we should win this race. And, you know, we've only got three wins, which is great. But, you know, there's a lot of races we look back and think, man, if we'd have done this a little bit different or that a little bit different, we could have won that race too. And, you know, I think that's a testament to this team. I think this group is very good at not taking no for an answer in a lot of ways when it comes to trying to get better and trying to push things and find new ways to find speed and find handling in these cars. And I think everybody at Team Penske has that mentality. And I think it's been a really good working relationship with Brad. And we've tried to use his experience to our advantage as a team. And, you know, I think a lot of it is just, you know, I told him day one, like, our job is to give him the tools to be successful. And you know, we're going to rely on your feedback a lot to do that. And your experience, and it's just been a good mix. And you know, I think it's just some fresh ideas from our team, and you combine that with his experience and being able to talk about what you anticipate the racetrack's going to do as the day goes, that stuff's invaluable when it comes to making good decisions.
And Brad talked about how important it was to him, and I assume to you, to go out and get one of those dominating wins where you just kind of go out and perform at your best all day and come out the winner. But he doesn't like to talk about other drivers in particular, but getting that today, but also doing it in what, for the most part, was a one-on-one battle with Denny Hamlin, who's been obviously one of the better teams so far this season. Was that a telltale sign for you guys too?
Well, I think it's what you have to do if you want to, you know, the way things are looking so far this year, the 4 and 11 have been the teams to beat. So, you need to come out and show that you can do that. But, you know, I think we're not giving away the championship yet. So everybody's still got a lot of work to do. And, you know, we've got to be able to do this in Phoenix, and we got to be able to win enough races between now and then to be in the final four to get to Phoenix. But, you know, the other two wins, not taking anything away from them. We had great cars, and we put ourselves in position to take advantage of situations late in the race. But this, we won this race, and it does feel different. It is more fun to do it that way. They're all great, and we're not going to be disappointed in any of them. But today was a lot of fun, and today's the kind of the day that you need if you want to contend for a championship.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to take a question for Jeremy from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Jeremy, congrats on this today. You and your teammates have been extremely fast all year, but I think really highlighted lately by Blaney and his success. I know you can really only speak for your team, but how significant is it for you guys to be able to break through for Team Penske today and capitalize on the speed that you had?
Yeah, I think, you know, today was a day where, you know, obviously with no practice, no qualifying, the things that you have to do, we nailed the setup, I would argue, better than anybody, and we had the best long run car, and, you know, the race played out to where you needed to. We got a couple long runs that paid off for us, and you know, I think we've had speed a lot. We've had a lot of top tens. We've had a lot of solid days. You know, we were close to Kansas. You know, we've really worked hard on the 550 package and trying to take the next step there. And we got closer at Kansas to a win. And, you know, felt like coming here that if things went right, we'd have a good shot at it. It's nice when the plan comes together, I guess.
And is there anything in particular that you're eager to learn over these next few weeks as the playoffs approach?
You know, I think the big thing for us is to try to take these races like today that carry over to the Richmonds and Phoenix and try to learn as much as we can, take away we'll debrief tomorrow and try to, you know, learn as much as we can from what we did today, the decisions we made, and what will apply moving forward and what we can do better moving forward. You know, some of the races the next few weeks don't really, you know, like some of the races, you know, Michigan's not in the playoffs, so it's obviously a race we want to go win. But, you know, some of that stuff, you're just trying to go win a race and get stage points and playoff points. But, you know, I think you every opportunity that we're at the racetrack with no practice, every race is like a practice, and you're trying to learn as much as you can from it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, Jeremy, we actually had one more question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Congratulations, Jeremy. Happy Thanks. For you.
Thank you.
I think I heard you on the radio say, you know, at some point, you know, the months are starting to run together, but I think you heard you say at one point on Sirius that you wanted to make the car competitive enough that Keselowski, you know, wanted to stay and continue to be your driver for a long time. What is it about him that, you know, just really gets you jazzed up and excited to come to work every day?
Well, I think, you know, you just go back to the all the success that we had in the Xfinity car. And, you know, I think we won 14 races or so with that car. And like I said, it's a lot of fun to work with him. You know that there aren't very many tracks that you're not going to go to that you don't have a chance to win the race. And that's the ideal situation. And, you know, this is a performance business, and in a lot of ways, every year is a contract year. So, you know, the pressure is always there to be successful and to compete. And, but that's what we live for, and that's what we want to do. And, you know, when we got paired up in January, I told him, I was like, our job is to give you what you need to be successful. And I, you know, I'm going to need your help with what that is, but we'll make it happen. And, you know, so far so good. And, you know, obviously it's going really well, and hopefully we can keep it all together.
How have you seen him mature over the last few years after having a couple of daughters
move into the leadership role in the, you know, top Penske car?
Sorry, Lee, I only caught the last half of that. Can you repeat the question, please?
Certainly. How have you seen him mature since having his two daughters and, you know, taking the leadership role at Team Penske?
You know, I think he's grown a lot over the years. You know, when I first started working with him, you know, he wasn't married, didn't have any kids. And, you know, now he's married with two kids and a business outside of racing. So, he's, you know, obviously when you have that kind of responsibility, you have to learn to find a good balance in your life and find a way to make everything successful. And that's one of the things that we talk about all the time is, you know, he's the first one to ask, what do you need from me? And I'm the first one to tell him when I need something. And I think just trying to find that good balance of what we need to be successful as a team. And at the same time, you know, let him enjoy life with his family and do the things he needs to do. And, but he's certainly not one to shy away from his part of the responsibility.
Thanks for your time. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your patience and for joining us. And congratulations on the win. We'll see you next week at Michigan.
All right. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on the win. We're now joined by our race winner, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Western Star Alliance Parts Ford. Brad, can you just walk us through your race today to kick it off?
Yeah. I mean, just a great car. And a great team effort. I was able to get in a really good rhythm at certain points in the race and just kind of take control. And that felt really good. It's our third win of the year, but first kind of win where we've just kind of been able to take control of the race. And gosh, that feels good. I feel so good. I'm proud of my team, proud of Jeremy Bowens and the way things have been kind of coming together. Still, you know, a lot of racing left in this season. And, gosh, I would love to make a run of this championship. I'm dying to get the second championship, and we've been, you know, knocking on the door the last few years and had some run-ins and some bumps and bruises, but it looks like we'll have a shot at it this year, and I'm really thrilled to death about that.
All right. Well, we are going to open up the floor for questions for Brad. If you have a question, please raise your hand in the participants tab, and we are going to kick it off with Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Congrats, Brad.
Thank you.
After the race, you mentioned the fact that Jeremy, working with Jeremy Bowens and this team has, in some ways, you felt given you a kick in the butt as far as making you even better. I just wondered, is that something you realized after some period of time working with them? And what's the advantage for you in getting that and feeling that way?
Well, Jim, I've had a great team since I've been here in Cup. And, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes being great, what do they say? Good is the enemy of great. And sometimes we've, you know, I've allowed myself to fall into that good category, and good isn't good enough. So, you know, this has been a really good challenge for me. It's, you know, a lot of ways removed some sacred cows in the ways I approach things. And I think that's a good thing. The low downforce on the cars this year, I think, is really clicking with me on the short tracks, which is good. And like I said, just kind of to remove the sacred cows from me and my way of thinking. And I think that can be really healthy.
And you mentioned about how important it was to get a dominating type of win today. You also did it by kind of out-dueling for much of the race Denny Hamlin, who obviously has had one of the best teams so far this season. Was that sort of an added bonus?
Yeah, I try not to focus on who you beat. It's just making sure that you beat everybody. I always feel like, Jim, if you worry or focus on one car, you don't focus on them all. And, you know, I would rather finish second and lose to a car we really wanted to beat than finish 39th and beat them. So, you know, we want to beat them all. And certainly they've been good. They deserve a lot of respect, the 11 car, but I try not to focus on any one team. So just going to be thankful for the day we had today, the effort our team has put in, and they deserve a lot of credit. I feel like I drove a really strong race, was able to get in nice rhythms at certain times, and like I said, dictate kind of the pace and make a difference. So that felt really good.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Our next question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Brad, I have two. The first is, racing with Denny like that, you guys swapped the lead multiple times today. Is that enjoyable from behind the wheel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was pretty good on the, you know, restarts and those real short runs, and we were really good on the longer runs. And the PJ1 kept coming and going, Kelly. One lap it would be in or not in, and next lap it would be in, and then it would wear off the racetrack. And then the low downforce on the cars was awesome because you could run behind somebody and not just be stupid slow. So that was really cool. And I thought we put on a great race. I was really proud of it. And proud of it for a sport and proud of it for a team. I was saying proud of it for my team because we won, but proud of it for a sport because we got away from rules that didn't make for good races, and we went to rules that I think made for good driver battles, and Danny and I had a heck of a driver battle.
And then secondly, you mentioned that hunt for the second championship. In such a unique season that all of you teams are having to adapt to, what is it going to mean for a team that wins the championship or maybe can just even get to the final four?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge.
You
know?
Okay. You getting the Zoom okay? What? You getting the Zoom okay?
Yeah, I'm getting it just great. I don't know who – you guys can hear me all right, right? Hello?
We got you.
All right. Somebody was talking. I don't know what I was talking about. I'm sorry. can you repeat the question now?
No problem. What is it just going to mean for a team to make the Final Four in such a unique season like this a team that might win the championship?
Well, I think races like today are perfect example of it. PJ1 on the racetrack has zero laps on it. Super treacherous. Then on top of that, no practice. No idea how your car is going to drive, and you got to fire off into that corner, and you got to find a way to make it stick where the guy behind you is, and he's going to beat you. And I'll tell you, it's just a heck of a challenge, Kelly. I've never done anything like that. And you got to unload out the gate and be ready to go. And you know, we're coming off a season last year where we had high downforce on the short tracks, at least, and the cars had a lot of grip. Now it's the opposite. Cars don't have very good grip at all, Kelly. You start throwing all these things at the drivers, no practice, PJ1, low downforce, and I think you're back to seeing the drivers really stand out and be able to showcase their talent in the Cup Series, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, and of course, glad to win a race in it.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
You talked about no practice. Do you really know what your fuel mileage is with no practice?
You know, you have some guesses based off of previous data. I mean, do you know it precisely, Bob? No, but you have some rough numbers. And then you do get numbers off of in-race, right? So in-race, you can do math and work it backwards, and our team does a great job at that, and a lot of others do too.
And I know you watch other sports and probably talk to athletes from other sports. You're in the middle of your kind of silly season free agency. Just how different is it in NASCAR versus like maybe it would be in football or baseball when we talk about drivers trying to get rides and having you have this whole sponsor element put in?
Yeah, it's certainly been much different than years, you know, previously in my career, Bob. You know, nobody likes it. So there's nobody really winning, I can tell you that. So, you know, you try to keep perspective. You know, I still, you know, I've got a great job. A lot of people don't have a job at all. I don't think that what they want to do is hear me whine about, you know, mine. But then again, it's you know, I do recognize that if my contract had fallen differently, I would probably be in a much better place with respect to, you know, when it ran out time-wise. But it's part of it. You know, the landscape is very strange, not just because of the virus, but I think one of the things that really stands out that's changed the landscape is, you know, the threshold that you have to, or the bar, so to speak, that you have to pass as a driver to be eligible for the Cup Series has been, you know, lowered pretty significantly since I've been a part of the sport. And that's starting to bring a wave of kind of paid drivers, so to speak, you know, drivers that pay for the ride. And that really does a lot of damage to the contract market, you know, and when there's drivers out there that, you know, are willing to pay for your ride, let alone, you know, you getting paid, they're willing to pay to take your ride. That really changes the marketplace pretty dramatically. And so, you know, that's been part of it too. All in all, again, I'm thankful I have a spot in the sport and hopefully it'll last for a long time. If it doesn't, you know, I know I did all I could do.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Our next question will come from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Brad. I'm just wondering, you know, you've got two shots at Michigan next week coming up now. What's your mentality going into there?
I'm freaking pumped, Jeff. You know, we've been really running well. I haven't quite executed perfectly until this weekend. This was one of the – or race. You know, I think we'll have a great shot of doing it just that at Michigan. You know, competition's going to be really tough. I think we all know how good Harvick is on those really big tracks. And I'm going to have to be perfect to beat him. I'm thrilled that I have the opportunity with a car that has been fast and we'll see how it plays out.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. And we're going to wrap it up with Brad with a question from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Brad, I have two questions for you. One, you've had years before, 2015, I'm thinking about particularly, where you've been dominant, led a lot of laps, but you didn't have a lot of victories, only one that year. How do you process that? Are you frustrated or do you look at it in the fact that, you know, performance-wise, we're doing everything we can, just didn't work out?
Yeah, it was a strange year. Just I felt like we led a ton of laps and always fell apart at the end, which was really frustrating. But, you know, it comes and goes that way. I've had other races and seasons. I think probably 2011 stands out where we won three races and barely led any laps. So, you kind of ride that roller coaster and accept it for what it is. But 2015 was tough that way, without a doubt.
Second question. Are you talking to other teams right now, or are you just focusing on talking to Penske?
I don't have anything signed at the moment. I'm hopeful to be real close, and you know, I'll wait until that's done before saying anything.
Thank you.
No problem, Jordan.
All right, Brad. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on the win. We'll see you at your home track next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.